You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern and 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Our friends over at Locked On Cubs and Locked On Bears. Locked On Cubs, only a handful of games left in the MLB. They're still fighting for the division and potentially a wild card spot. And the Bears coming off a win as well. Good to see. So check out our friends at Locked On Bears and Locked On Cubs. Text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up with all your questions. Obviously, I feel like there's going to be a lot of reaction from Media Day that happened yesterday. So if you want to put in your two cents, your thoughts, hit us up. 331-979-1369. Matt, we are finally back. We made it through the trenches of summer. Media Day came and went, but before we get into all of that, how you doing? What's going on?
What's up, Jordan? Doing well. What's going on, Bulls Nation? Fun day yesterday. Just sitting at my desk, live tweeting all sorts of fun quotes from Bulls management, Fred Hoiberg, this young, talented core of players that we're about to watch for a full season. And, you know, nothing greatly surprising yesterday as far as, you know, how media days tend to go. It was kind of by the book as far as what we've come to expect from this front office, this head coach, and these players. But yeah, really looking forward to breaking down and dissecting all the different things we heard from what can only be called a very enthusiastic, optimistic media day for a team that not a whole lot of people have winning a lot of games is.
Yeah, this is why I'm in a great mood today, just because you come into media day and I feel like the first time in a few years where the Bulls didn't have any like dramatic storylines entering training camp, and there's no tension, there's nothing like that has surrounded this team negatively over the last couple of years. So it's nice to just finally like sit back and look at some of those other teams around the league that are kind of worrying about that, one mainly in Minnesota worrying about stuff like that, and we just kind of get to sit back and relax and kind of enjoy and listen to what these guys have to say. And a lot of these guys being the youngest guys in the NBA, it's going to be an exciting season. At least I can say that every night we tune in this year is going to be something exciting, and I'm hoping for no crazy dramatic storylines, but at least to enter media day without any of those, I think, is a relief for the Bulls for the first time in a few years.
Yeah, it was definitely a united front between the, you know, the management team of Gar and Paxson praising the work that Hoiberg did last year to keep this young team focused and motivated and upbeat and positive, especially considering the way last season started with a fight between players. And then even when they decided to, you know, instruct Fred to kind of change up his rotation in the back end of the season to give some of the younger guys an opportunity to play more minutes so they can continue that player development and evaluation. And obviously that led to the Bulls kind of steering into the tank. They really praised Fred for the job he did last season. They praised Fred and his staff for the work they did this offseason, you know, pretty much having the entire team working and committing themselves to improving this summer. You know, that's one of the things that they love to say, right? Like spending the summer in their building, quote unquote, which they were very happy yep. about. And then, of course, Fred in turn, you know, patted his bosses on the back, praised them for going out and adding some versatile young talent to this roster. It was a lot of like, hey, good job, man. Hey, great job to you too. Let's all talk about how great we are. Which wasn't surprising, but for those people who were wondering about Fred Hoiberg's job security, and you and I had that talk earlier this summer as far as like, what are the, you know, the requirements, what are the stipulations for Fred keeping this job through this season and going into his fifth and final year of his contract and finishing this contract depending on how the Bulls do this season. And Paxson made it very clear that when it comes to evaluating Fred this season, wins will not be a part of that evaluation.
About Fred, what do you need to see from him this year, and what would you like to see from him? And Fred, what do you like to show? What would you like to show this year as a coach?
Well, let me start with, you know, last year in a lot of ways was difficult from the get-go, and I thought Fred and his staff handled last year incredibly well. You know, you start in training camp with the incident that happened between Bobby and Nico. We got it rolling a little bit, and then we had the injuries. We made the decision organizationally to play a lot of our young guys. Fred kept a very positive, upbeat attitude with our guys, and so that's a huge thing for us. I think more than anything, we're all on the same page. We had a lot of discussions this summer about our roster, about how we want to play. I think this roster could potentially be more conducive to how Fred wants to play. You know, maybe more. We keep using the word versatility, but we have some versatile guys that maybe we can play a little smaller at times if we choose to. And that's, you know, where Fred has had success in the past. So we're very comfortable with where we're at in terms of Fred and his relationship with us, his relationship with the players, and how we want to play. And I thought he did a lot of really good things last year.
Yeah, and, you know, I give these guys a lot of credit for putting this roster together and the makeup of our group. I do think that there is a lot of versatility, which you have to have in today's NBA, not only offensively, but on the defensive end as well. And you look at the teams that are always in it in the end in the playoffs. You just look at the different styles that they are able to go out and play and compete. And, you know, I see some of that in this roster. So I give these guys a lot of credit for the makeup of this group. And, you know, I think it's going to be an exciting time in this organization for many, many years. So, you know, as far as what I want to accomplish, Darnell, you know, I want to get our guys to go out and buy into competing and playing at the hardest, you know, being the hardest playing team every night. I want to see growth. You know, I thought last year guys made significant progress in their careers, but it's our job now is to take that to the next level. And get our guys to go out there and take that next step. And that's an important part of this process when you have a young group is continue to make individual progress and in turn have everybody come together and be about one common goal. We're going to have a lot of sacrifice with this team because of the talent, because of the many weapons that we're going to have on this team. It may be a different guy every night, and that's going to have to be accepted. And, you know, again, we're going to talk a lot about that. We already have. But what do we want, Darnell? We want growth. We want to continue to go out there and get better.
Almost a known fact. Like, we should have been confident in ourselves in saying that, too. I think we, throughout the summer, not only you and I, but fans out there, too, kind of talked themselves into the fact that maybe Fred Hoiberg's job is going to be on the line if they don't push for a playoff spot this season. And, like, depending on wins and losses, maybe they go in a new direction. Like, I was always in the camp that, okay, what they want to do here is rebuild over multiple years. Yeah, they want it to accelerate, but at the same time, the Bulls aren't going to look to, say, build off a win total or have a projected win total when you've got the second youngest team in the NBA right now. And that's why I always said, like, the front office, I think, is more than content with what Fred Hoiberg is doing right now. And whether or not you think that's going to work or that's going to get you to a championship type of level team in the next few years. It still could be up to, for debate this year, but it seems like the front office is very comfortable with the idea of Fred Hoiberg being the coach this year into maybe next year. And I was actually a little bit surprised at how much praise they were giving him too. So let's start there, though. Let's start with John Paxson, Gar Forman, and Fred Hoiberg all at the podium. That, on top of just praising Fred Hoiberg for the job that he did last year, what was the most notable thing that I think you can you got out of this 10-12 minute presser that the Bulls front office did? Anything that jumped out to you?
Well, I mean, I guess the thing that stood out to me, and it kind of goes on the tails of what we were just talking about, and here's a direct quote from John Paxson: "You're not going to hear Gar and I talk about wins or anything like that." And this was in response to a question about Fred and his job performance. And here's a follow-up on that quote: "But the expectations for us are to see this team come together," end quote. So to me, that says, okay, even if Fred doesn't get this team to play 500 or better basketball over an 82-game season, what they will be evaluating Fred on this season is making all of these pieces work, because they praised Fred for his job last season and they praised him for the job he did this offseason, and he praised them for getting him some young, versatile talent added to the roster in Jabari and the draft picks and retaining Zach LaVine. So clearly the Bulls front office sees this as, okay, Fred, here's this young, talented roster. What can you do with it? Can you get them to come together, play efficient basketball together, and make all of this work? Because there are a lot of individual agendas. There are a lot of guys who are going to want the ball and want their shots. And it is on Fred, and to a lesser degree, point guard Chris Dunn, to make that happen. So that, to me, was the most interesting part about the relationship between the front office and the coach as he enters his fourth season of a five-year deal. It's not like we're going to measure wins and losses when it comes to evaluating Fred, but we do see it as his job now. It is his job and his staff's job to make these young pieces work effectively on the court together. So there you go. That is the you know, do or die of whether or not Fred Hoiberg is their guy moving forward. Can he show them that he's capable of molding young talent? And this is the first season where we'll really get to test that.
Do you think it was fair for them to say, to kind of like put it on Fred Hoiberg? Because I noticed that too. It was like they decided to say, okay, yes, we've over the offseason, over the last two offseasons, we've put together a team that we feel like molds to what Fred Hoiberg wants to do as a coach here. Do you think that's fair with the roster that's currently on hand? Like, I get it. They've got 5, 6, 7 guys that you could potentially say that, okay, we want to run in Fred's system, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, you've got a handful of guys, but you don't have an entire team that is set and ready to go in exactly what Fred Hoiberg wants. And like you had said, this is the first year that we're going to get to see this in full action. We saw bits and pieces of it last year with Markkanen and Dunn, especially during December and January, where those guys were playing and they were healthy and they were playing at a high clip. But you didn't get to see Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and Lauri Markkanen all play on the floor for that much of an extended time. So maybe they're factoring in Zach LaVine as well as far as their quote-unquote offseason acquisitions this year. But losing David Nwaba and then inserting Jabari Parker, they at least feel like that's an upgrade for them as far as the way Fred wants to play. Do you see it that way? Because I was like, eh. I was like, yeah, Fred Hoiberg has a team that is constructed to the way he wants to play, but I would say not completely, right?
No, I mean, what you can say fairly is that this roster coming into this season, more so than any of the previous three seasons Fred's been at the helm, it is more true coming into this year than it has ever been before, as far as giving Fred the pieces that he needs to run what he wants to run. And just because this is no longer a team that has aging guards who can't shoot in Rondo and Wade, and last season was about tanking as much as it was about actually developing a young core and getting them to play Fred Hoiberg's system. So, yes, there is some truth to that, because this season is really, for the first time, here, Fred, we constructed a roster for you that is what you want. Play at a fast pace with all these young athletic guys, and hopefully work towards being a competitive team this season. So yes, in that sense, it's true, or it's at least truer than it's been before. But that was, and it makes me think of the other thing that stood out to me when the, you know, the VP, the GM, and the head coach were sitting at the podium together, was Gar, when he did a side interview with NBC Sports Chicago and Mark Schanowski and crew, kept talking about how excited he was for Jabari and that signing, and how Jabari, he kept saying, a great fit, a great fit, a great fit. Fred Hoiberg, to his credit, acknowledged that Jabari did not play a whole lot of minutes at the three in Milwaukee and did not do so very effectively and is not a natural fit, and has said, yeah, my staff and I, as soon as we got news that Jabari was coming on board, spent a lot of this summer working on ways to make Jabari effective and comfortable at that position, which at least for the starting point will be him playing out of position. So that was one of the instances I saw where, okay, not necessarily not on the same page, but Gar, just with his Gar speak of like, oh, yep, everything's great, everything's fan-friggin-tastic, we got Jabari, he's a great fit, and Fred Hoiberg was like actually willing to acknowledge truthfully, nah, Jabari's not a great fit where we have him, but my staff and I have addressed that, and we will continue to address that moving forward to try to make him a fit. Whereas Gar was just like, oh, yeah, he's a fit. No more questions. Thanks.
Well, Fred doesn't want the blame in case this doesn't go well. Like, if Jabari right. doesn't play well here in the three, Fred's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, let's back it up for a second. Like,
yeah, it was a shrewd comment there, and a sly little maneuver for Fred to acknowledge that on Media Day, that said, yeah, we know Jabari's not a great fit at the three, but we're working on that.
And that wasn't just one case of Fred Hoiberg kind of, I don't know, for the first time, like, stepping up and being kind of realistic about the expectations of this team and what he sees as the coach, instead of just kind of playing along to what John Paxson or Gar Foreman was saying, whether he agrees with it or not. I think him doing that, on top of, shout out to Vincent Goodwill, he asked a really good question, because they were pressing these guys when they were up there on, like, who's going to be the leader? Who's going to be the alpha dog of this team? You've got four guys that potentially could be leaders, if not more than that. Like, who is the guy? And they kept kind of tiptoeing around it. They didn't want to name a name. But shout out to Fred Hoiberg, though, too. He said, do you see any characteristics of anybody potentially being a young leader on this team? And all three of them kind of looked at each other and they're like, well, who should answer that? Who wants to answer that? And Fred Hoiberg stepped up and said, no, I haven't seen anybody that stands out from the rest. But he said that doesn't necessarily mean that nobody on this team can be a leader.
Sam's talked about the pecking order that great Bulls teams have had in the past. And I know you guys don't want to assign that to any one player, but over the summer, have you seen anybody with the personality to be a lead dog, so to speak?
He looked at all three of us. Who are you talking to?
Whichever one of you want to answer the question.
That's a good question, Vince. As far as there been one guy, no. And you know, there's not a ton of teams in the league that have only one guy that take the last shot. You know, we had multiple occasions when we were going through our really good stretch last year where Lowry would take the last shot, or Chris Dunn really developed into a closer. In a lot of those wins that we had. Zach had a couple games where we put the ball in his hands late in games. Obviously, Jabari is capable of making a big play, especially at the three, when you can put him on the block and take advantage of a mismatch. So, you know, I really think, you know, Vince, that, like John said, that will all develop as we go along. And we'll probably understand who has the makeup, you know, to be that guy that we put the ball in their hands late in games.
I don't believe you can force leadership on any player. I think if the... You know, we haven't even talked much about Justin Holiday, and Robin was mentioned, but they're two pros that are in our locker room. I think the biggest thing is, can they hold each other accountable in that locker room? And that, if they can, that'll be a form of leadership that is needed. And again, with the way they've interacted this offseason, the camaraderie that they do have right now, that could potentially be something that's a real positive for us. If they can hold each other accountable in a positive way, that would be a really good thing.
But I thought that was a theme of the entire presser, like talking to all the players, like who's going to be the leader on this team, and nobody really wanted to answer it.
Well, yeah, because I think they know that will be a question coming in, and right now there is that. And another question, somebody used the phrase pecking order, right?
Yeah, that was the common phrase of the day.
Right, as far as, okay, like, who gets this? who gets the ball on this trip, who gets the ball on that trip. And it may have been Sam Smith who asked Pax in that question, as far as like, hey, Pax, you know, you played on some great teams with a lot of talented guys. And of course, you know, the pecking order was MJ and then Scotty and then Horace and then on and on down the line. But so, like, how do you guys see this roster as far as this roster's pecking order when it comes to leadership and when it comes to, you know, clutch time situations? And what Fred said, which I thought was a solid answer, is that it's about everyone holding each other accountable. It's not like you need to have one unquestioned, bona fide leader. Everybody get in line behind this guy. It's about holding each other accountable. And that works in all directions. And then Paxson and Gar followed up with mentioning Justin Holiday and Robin Lopez as, well, you know, when you talk about the veterans on our team, the veterans on our roster, we still value those guys a lot because of the leadership they showed last season, and we anticipate them being leaders again this season. So at the same time, there, it's no secret that you know, they're probably going to be looking to get anything, whatever they can, if anything, on the trade market for those guys at some point this season, so you can get Wendell Carter Jr. more minutes, so you can alleviate the backup at the, you know, combo wing and two guard spot when it comes to Justin Holiday and some of the other young players at those positions. So those are your leaders coming into the season. But when, if and when those guys get traded, who is the one to step up? And I think that's a valid question that they don't really have an answer for right now.
And I don't think at the same time they wanted to give an answer, because you're not going to really point out an alpha dog when all the, when you've got four or five guys that are trying to compete to show what they have. You know, they want to be the alpha, and that's Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, and Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, and even maybe Wendell Carter Jr. as a rookie. Like, they're not going to say, I didn't expect them at all explicitly to name off a name or two, because that would just, that would hurt them. That would put them at a disadvantage as far as what the coach feels, and they want all of them to try to play that, let that play out on the court. Two other things just from John Paxson, Gar Foreman, and Fred Hoiberg, and then we'll get to some of the players. One thing was, I thought it was interesting, and it's probably to no surprise either. Fred Hoiberg pointed out that he wants the team to look back at what they did in December and January over that winning streak.
That was like the first words out of his mouth.
Well, were you really surprised, though? Were you really surprised?
No.
He mentioned that the Bulls had the second best record in the Eastern Conference through that run, but he wants them to play that way through all 82 games. So I thought that was good to mention the December-January streak and what they did last year. And that was just with Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen. That's why I thought Chris Dunn got a lot of praise over some of these other guys, over LaVine, over Markkanen even, as far as what they can do for the team. And maybe that's just because they've seen more of Dunn than they saw of LaVine last season. They saw at stretches Dunn be able to close out games, and that was something Fred Hoiberg mentioned as well. I thought that was pretty cool, though. Obviously, December and January, that streak that they ran on with Nico Mirotic, that's something that they want to replicate throughout the season this year. And then the last thing, too, was being asked about Jimmy Butler. Were you surprised at the comments? I thought the comments from Paxson, the response from him was truthful and was also really good.
This question is for Gar and John. Obviously, I know the PC answer is going to be you're worried about what's going on here only, but unless you guys have been in a cave, there's some drama going on in Minnesota with former people in this building. Are you surprised at what's gone on the last couple of weeks there, just knowing the people involved like you do? You know, they're both former employees.
Yeah, but it's not on us to make any real comment on that. We obviously respect Jimmy as a player. He was here. We know how great he is. He did a lot of really good things for the organization, but that's not our concern. And when we made the deal last summer and acquired Zach and Chris and got Lowry in the draft, we moved on, and we're worried about it. We have too much to worry about internally ourselves to become a better team. It's never about that, and that's still to be determined, Joe. I mean, that we've got young guys. That's still to be determined. And it's never about vindication. We did exactly what we thought was the right thing for the organization last year to rebuild, and we walked out of that night, and we were comfortable then. We're comfortable now.
No, I think John hit it on the head. You know, we've got enough to worry about right here at the Advocate Center, and that's for these young guys to continue to grow, develop, build a chemistry with each other. So Feel good about where we're at, but know we have a lot of work left to do.
You know, we criticize when criticism needs to happen with the front office, but I thought he was being truthful at the time when he said that like, we did what's best for the team, and then went on to praise Jimmy Butler for like 30, 45 seconds, saying how great of a player he was when he was here, but saying that they did what they wanted to do because that was the best direction for the Bulls, and he doesn't feel vindicated. He doesn't need to feel vindicated.
I thought that was an interesting follow-up question and follow-up answer after the initial question about Jimmy and Paxson saying, look, that's not really our problem anymore, or that's not where our focus is. We're worried about getting better and, you know, making our team a good team this season. And, of course, you know, Jimmy did a lot of great things for this organization, blah, blah, blah. And then the follow-up question was, do you feel vindicated about the trade? Because, of course, there were a lot of people who panned that trade on draft night 2017 when it happened, and the Bulls front office took a lot of heat for that. And Paxson said it's not about vindication. And, you know, I thought that was not a surprising answer from Paxson, because for all the you know, FireGuard Paxers and billboarders out there who are sick of this front office and have been for years, you can't discredit or discount the fact that Paxson is a straight-up guy. He, as opposed to his counterpoint in Gar, never tries to be, you know, elusive or disingenuous when it comes to answering questions and hard questions from the media. And he took the high road. Not everybody takes the high road, but Paxson took the high road and it said, hey, it's not about vindication. We felt at the time that it was a move that would make our franchise comfortable moving forward, and here we are 50 months later, and we're still comfortable with the move that we made. And it's not about vindication. Whereas we know that Gar is kind of that, you know, that...
Jimmy and Gar didn't get along. That's pretty obvious.
Well, no. But, you know, we heard little whispers going around town that after the Paul George trade... And of course, you know, nobody saw the explosion of Victor Oladipo coming, but Gar was sending out texts to people in Bulls media saying, like, hey, doesn't our Jimmy Hall look a lot better now by comparison? Like, hey, look what we did. Look what we did. I'm thinking you're probably, you know, less unimpressed with our Jimmy Butler trade than you were when you wrote that column, you know, earlier in the summer of 2017. So, like, Gar is that petty, and I'm not afraid to say that. You know, in case Gar's listening, Gar is that petty. John Paxson is not.
The only thing I'll say to their defense, too, and it makes it a little bit sweeter, is the fact that Lauri Markkanen looked excellent last year. You know, if you turned around this year and we're at Media Day and Lauri Markkanen didn't look like the player he did last season or where he could potentially be. On top of that, Chris Dunn.
One more thing that I took away, and Casey Johnson made note of this in one of his columns that he did yesterday, was that once again, Paxson was the first one to speak. Paxson was the one who was kind of handling some of the tougher questions rather than Gar. You know, Gar did speak up when he had something to say, but we're now going into another season where it looks like Paxson will be the voice of the front office when it comes to the media and relaying the front office's thoughts and concerns and praises and criticisms to the fan base. And Casey Johnson noted that the last time John made that a big part of his job, he got tired of it and it wore on him. And there is a question kind of, you know, lingering in the backs of minds as far as how long can Paxson continue to be that guy, the face and the voice of the front office, and doing all of that media stuff? Because the last time he got tired of it and passed those duties to Gar, it kind of blew up in their faces. So is that, I mean, obviously it doesn't seem like, as you said, not a whole lot of drama right now. If something goes wrong or if all of a sudden there's unrest in this locker room and there are young rising egos kind of clashing at some point, people are arguing or complaining about lack of shots, lack of touches, whatever it may be, will Paxson continuously be the one to step in and speak for the front office and speak for the organization? And might that start to tire on him again? Because the last time he did it, it tired on him, and he passed it to Gar, and it went horribly.
That's a good point to bring up. Didn't even think about that. So that'll be something to monitor, too. Going through some of the players now, players' audio here. And if you want to insert any of your reaction, you've got any thoughts about Media Day, hit us up, 331-979-1369. All right, so we're going to run through basically every player that spoke, which was about a handful, five or six. The most important guys that we wanted to speak spoke. So let's talk about them first. Let's start it off with Zach LaVine. Worth mentioning about Zach LaVine, I think the first and main point was he mentioned that he, when he came back from his ACL last year, he was only playing at 60 to 70%, but feels like he's back at now at 100% and is excited to come into this season. I don't know. I felt like I heard a little bit different in his voice, just the kind of character that he ran with this year than he did last. And I heard that differently from Markkanen and differently from Dunn too, but it was in a good light. So for me, I thought LaVine mentioning the fact that he wasn't at 100% last year, and I don't know if that's a cop to him not playing that well last year or if legitimately playing at 60 or 70% with the ACL, but then turned around with the money, getting the money this summer. He knows there's high expectations on him this year. So anything surprising from Zach LaVine from you outside of, you know, potentially saying that he didn't come back at 100% when he played last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could tell in every single one of his answers, and some more so directly than others, the kid's just excited to be healthy coming into a full season. And he said that he was just really happy all offseason long because he was working on his game instead of rehabbing a knee. And there's a big difference for how you feel coming into a season when you're doing one of those things instead of the other. And so he talked about all the ways he was trying to improve his game this offseason. And he didn't shy away from some of the tougher questions. Of course, he was asked about his defense.
We all can play defense. Everybody in the NBA can play defense. Like, you know, we're some of the most athletic people in the game. It's just, you know, that determination and that learning and the curve. It's us being able to put the work in. And, you know, these last couple of weeks we've all been here. We've been looking really well. I know personally I've always been really good on the ball. You know, I don't know if a lot of you guys can tell me that I'm not good on the ball. I've always had problem off weak side and stuff like that. So that's the main thing you hammer in and try to focus. You know, people are going to talk regardless. It's a story. Let's talk about defense, bad this, bad that. But I think we're always looking for the positives and showing where we can grow because, you know, we all know how explosive we can be on the other end. If we get that down, we're going to be scary.
And then the other thing about the question about his contract and whether or not he feels the added pressure to go out there and perform because of the contract, he basically just shot that down.
No, I don't have to validate anything in my book. You know, I feel like I've earned everything that I've gotten. You know, I was very excited. I'm always, you know, thankful for everything I've gotten. And, you know, I'm extremely excited to start the season. But added pressure, I can't see you very well, homeboy. No, added pressure, man. I'm the hardest critic at everybody on my own side. There's nothing that anybody, one of you guys, could say that I haven't heard before or give myself, you know, ultra pressure on myself. So, you know, I take that to the bank with myself on what I want to do with the season and how I want to go at it. But, you know, I just think I'm excited because I know I've had a really good summer. I know how good we can be. And I think we're going to go after it.
And he did say, you know, I want to be one of the go-to guys. I want to lead by example. I want to, you know, be one of the guys to get things done. But it's, you know, but it's a team thing and it's not a me thing. And I'm not thinking like I have added pressure to, you know, to show up after this contract.
I thought that was good, too. I thought that showed a little bit of the things that Fred Hoiberg and the front office were talking about as far as what they need to see for guys to be leaders. And he kind of mentioned it as well as Chris Dunn and a couple other guys. They had mentioned that there can be multiple leaders on this team. Not one guy's got to be that alpha dog. But it's nice to hear
him. Hashtag three alphas.
Never forget the three alphas. But when he was talking, it just sounded like everything that you want to hear from a guy, a young guy coming off an injury and a guy that just got paid and not acting as if, you know, he's got to be the main guy just because he's making the most money on this team. And between him and Parker, too, I think leadership skills from both of those guys, I think, can help this team if they're willing to act as a unit the way that they're talking now. We'll be able to see that more as the season progresses this year. I think the one other thing, too, that I got from LaVine is that they were talking about his weight and like what kind of condition he was in last year compared to coming in this season. And I know Casey Johnson, I think about a week ago, reported that he was down to 185. As opposed to 200, and Zach was like, nah, man, I got to correct you on that. Like, I haven't been 185 probably since, like, the beginning of college. He was like, I was yeah, probably at, like, 213, 214 last year, and I'm down about 200. So looking like the Bulls, on top of LaVine losing a little bit of weight, getting a little bit leaner, a little bit quicker, Markkanen adding 17 pounds as well. These guys are getting into good shape, and that's only a positive. But I thought it was funny that he had corrected him, because I was going to say too, like 185 is pretty damn skinny for an NBA player, at least at his position.
Yeah, dude, I weigh 185, and I am, I'm 6'4", and I am not an NBA player. So I think 185 would be kind of jarringly skinny for Zach LaVine. But I do like the fact that he trimmed down from 212, 213 to an even 200, because he did look a little soft around the edges last season. You know, he didn't look fat. I mean, rarely do you see an NBA player look fat, but he did just kind of look a little less toned than he did when he was healthy and playing in Minnesota before that ACL tear two seasons ago. So we're really excited to see what 100% Zach LaVine looks like. And I think, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic about it. And to his credit, he talked about the defensive side of the ball, and I'm hopeful that we can see some improvements from him there this season.
All right, let's get on to Markkanen. I thought he was the most fun out of all of the guys that interviewed today. And to me, it just seems like he's sort of, he knows there's pressure, but the way he approaches it comes from like almost like a genuine, like still in that kind of teenage mode as far as what basketball means to him and kind of the way he's looking at things this year. And I thought his is more candid than anybody else's. And he had mentioned the fact that, I thought it was surprising as well, the fact that he added 17 pounds this offseason, going from 223 pounds at the beginning of the season. Now he's up to 240. And obviously that shows. Throughout all the pictures we've seen this summer, it completely shows. And I thought it was cool, the one thing that he had mentioned, and it shouldn't come to anybody's surprise, is the fact that he mentioned that he couldn't body guys down in the post the way he wanted to and kind of bully guys when he was trying to get to the basket last year. And he said adding this additional weight and adding the muscle should be able to help me do that. And he's excited to see what kind of skills he can bring in his post game. And that's where I'm excited. If you can combine that with the fact that he can shoot better, he can shoot upwards of 37 or better percent from three, like that's going to be a scary dude to watch next year. But I hope his post game, as far as offense goes, is just as good as his 3-point shot is. As a lot of guys had mentioned too, that his floater looks great, his shot looks as pure as ever. The one concern, and I don't know if it needs to be a concern until we see it on the floor, is if adding that additional weight is going to slow him down at all. I don't know what you think about that, but I would hope not. But maybe we'll see that in the first couple of months of the season.
No, I'm not worried about that added muscle slowing him down. I think he will still be able to recognize mismatches in either direction. You know, if there's a big slow guy who has to switch out onto Markkanen on the perimeter, he can put the ball on the floor and blow by that guy. We saw that plenty last season, and I don't think some added muscle, you know, 10 to 15 pounds of muscle is going to take away from that. And as you were just mentioning, it certainly will help the other mismatch situations where, you know, Markkanen's got a little mouse on his hip down in the post, and he can just back him down, bite him down, and get himself an easy two. So there's my take on that. My biggest takeaway from Markkanen's comments yesterday is when he was sitting down with Mark Chinowski and the NBC Bulls guys, and they asked him, I can't remember which one of them, but one of them asked him a question of, you know, there are a lot of mouths to feed on this offense. Everybody's excited about the addition of Jabari and having a healthy Zach LaVine. As somebody coming off a really impressive rookie season, are you at all concerned about getting enough shots up? Are you concerned at all about, at some point this season, needing to go to Fred Hoiberg to say, hey, man, like, I think I should be the one to take this shot coming out of this timeout? Or, hey, man, like, I didn't get a whole lot of shots up in the second, or in the first half. Can we try to get me some more looks in the second half? And Markkanen's two-part response was, A, I'm not worried about that, and B, if it does come to that, I'm not afraid to do that. So he doesn't foresee it being a problem, which is sort of a recall of a comment he had earlier this offseason about the addition of Jabari and how many guys are going to get shots this season. But the fact that he said, if at some point this season I'm not happy with my shot attempts, I have no problem and I have no fear to go to Fred Hoiberg and say, hey, give me the ball. And I loved hearing that.
Yeah, he even mentioned that too when he was talking in the press conference. Like I don't know what he was talking about as far as, maybe he was talking about the additional shooters that were going to be on the team and the way that they were going to be able to space the floor on offense. And he was talking about himself completely. and then he switched and said something like me not getting up shots or something along those lines, and then he quickly followed and rebutted with, like, not that I'm worried about shots being taken away from by Parker or by Levine or Dunn. So I thought him kind of sticking to that and, like, letting people know without concern, like, don't make it a big deal until it is, because I'm not worried about it, so nobody else should be worried about it. And I'm glad that he made it a point to say that multiple times to throughout all the people that he talked to yesterday, the NBC guys, the guys at the media press conference, and even Chuck Swirsky. It was kind of like a main theme for marketing, saying, like, I'm not worried about the shots that I'm going to put up. So I definitely agree with you. I think that was another sticking point for me with marketing. Other than that, though, I thought he was really good. He's going to be really fun, and I think his personality is starting to come out even more so than it did last year.
Oh, yeah. Especially when they asked him about the TBT picture he put on his Twitter account last week when all the Butler stuff was hitting the fan in Minnesota. And he said, you know, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't taking shot at anybody, but I thought it's something that Bulls fans would enjoy. And, you know, I thought it was funny. So, yeah, there's that. But he said it all with such a knowing smile. Like, it was clearly something that he did intentionally, and he was like, hey, you know, no shots taken, but I, you know, I thought Bulls fans would love it. And he's totally right. Everybody loved that.
At least Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Zach LaVine. Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen seem like they've got a little bit of a connection as well from playing a lot last year.
Oh, that video of them trying where to speak Lowry's Finnish. Talking in Finnish, and Chris Dunn's just busting a gut laughing during a photo shoot. Oh, that made my heart
smile.
Great.
It's great to see. Speaking of Chris Dunn, let's talk about him real quick. He, I think, impressed me out of any one of the players that talked yesterday. I think he impressed me the most. He seems like he's coming with an edge this year. Like, the way he speaks and the way he was talking about the team and talking about his game, to me, spoke as probably the most standout as far as a leader goes this year. Like, everything he was saying in those 7 or 8 minutes that he talked to the press were everything that I would want to hear from a leader. And to me, is completely different from just a year ago when we heard Chris Dunn at Media Day. He was a little bit more quiet, a little bit more general, and now it seems like he's coming with this confidence and this edge this year that you love to see. And I was surprised by that, and I was actually happy about that too. Is like coming with it kind of an angry force this year in every positive way possible. But the pressure is on him to be able to be a ball distributor. And then most importantly, too, he mentioned it right at the end. He's like, I'm not afraid to take shots, and I won't be this season. So I think that all that sort of swagger that he's come with this year is completely flipped from what we, I think, saw in just a year's time.
You know, I ain't going to be scared to shoot. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, going back to that conversation we were having a bit ago about which is the most likely guy to emerge as the leader or the primary leader on the floor and in the locker room. Outside of Holiday and Robin Lopez as the oldest vets, it's Chris Dunn. You know, maybe Zach LaVine talked about wanting to be one of the go-to guys to get buckets down the stretch and be a guy who leads by example, and I would love to see LaVine take some leadership steps this season. But to me, because of the position and because of the maturity I have seen from him, Chris Dunn is the most likely answer there. And he also did show a little bit of personality as well when he was asked about being, you know, the leader of this defense and how there are going to be some defensive holes on this team. And he said, well, you know, some people started talking about, hey, maybe Wendell's the best defensive player on this team now, but I'm pretty confident that it's still me. He knows that he has a big season ahead of him, and he knows that he has a lot on his shoulders and a lot riding on this, and he seems completely unintimidated by all of
it. I love it.
Or any of it, and I loved seeing that from him yesterday.
And the other thing, too, just worth mentioning, the report that came out in May about him not having the work ethic.
Oh, this was the best. This was the best part of Media Day.
I don't know if Chris Dunn knew. I would assume he knows who wrote that, in knowing
of
knowing
course he
that
knows
he
who
was
wrote
sitting
that.
In basically the first row right in front of Dunn as he was talking.
I think my feelings about it was, it's unprofessional in the sense of, if you know who I am, you know I work hard. And, you know, I take working hard very seriously because of, you know, the people that I'm around. My father, he's a blue-collar worker, and, you know, that's in my genes, being a blue-collar worker. But at the same time, those people who felt like, you know, I wasn't working hard, they weren't around me. So they just basically guessing. You know, they waking up and guessing. Because if you was around me, you know what kind of work I put in.
Proud of Chris Dunn, and good for him for standing up for himself and addressing it the way it needs to be addressed without taking shots like maybe one of the writers.
Yeah, I mean, I so wish I could have seen the smug and or embarrassed look on Cowley's face when Chris Dunn took a shot at him. But Cowley was there. I saw just from the footage of Media Day as I was watching it live, Cowley was there. He was right, you know, right by the podium for all those interviews. And you know that he was there when Chris Dunn said that. And I think Chris Dunn knowingly said that, knowing who in the room made that report. Cowley gonna Cowley, man. And hey, look, we were just talking on a recent episode about sometimes Joe Cowley is right. And he's right about stuff that he has the balls to publish when not anybody else among his colleagues does. And when it came to the early summer report about Jimmy Butler and the unrest of Minnesota, he was right on the money. And look where we are now. But for every one of those, you get one of these from Cowley, where he was probably just trying to stir the pot and make some conjecture about something he may have heard secondhand or off source. But Chris Dunn confidently came out and said it was an unprofessional report. The person who wrote it was just guessing about something. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know my work ethic. And he wasn't around me this offseason. So there you go, Joe Cowley. One step forward, two steps back.
People kind of forgot about that report over the summer with all the moves that have been made around the Bulls. But like I said, I think the most important note is Chris Dunn coming with kind of a fire, that pit bull mentality that he always talks about. You can really see it kind of coming through the way he speaks and the way he's talking about his game this year. So I'm excited for Chris Dunn. All I got to say is pray for Eastern Conference point guards this year. That's all I'm saying, man. Should be a whole lot of fun. So excited basketball is back, and we're glad you guys stuck it out through the summer with us. Should be a very exciting season, not only for the Bulls, for just the rest of the NBA. The storylines that are going to come out should be fantastic. And like we've always said, this is the best reality TV show, reality show in general, and it's 365 days a year. So excited for the season to start. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Jordan C. Malley. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Oh, one last thing before we get out of here. Just want to congratulate two friends of the show on new adventures, new roles that they're going to have around the NBA. Nick Friedel going to the Warriors beat for ESPN. And Malika Andrews looking like she's leaving the Chicago Tribune to go to ESPN and cover their regional stuff. So doing what Nick did last year with the Timberwolves, the Bulls, the Bucks, etc. So excited for them, hoping to have them on the show again this year multiple times to talk about not only the Bulls but just the NBA in general. But once again, congratulations to them.
Yeah. Happy for Nick and Malika on their new adventures. Nick, of course, I mean, who doesn't want to cover the Warriors? Get to, you know, have awesome media sessions with Steve Kerr and all the personalities on that team. And, you know, it was great to bring Malika on the show as someone new to the Bulls beat over the summer. And, you know, she did some great collaborative pieces with KC over the offseason. And looking forward to her continued work with ESPN. So, yeah, kudos to both of them. And hopefully we'll be able to get them both on the show as the season gets underway.
We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.